Hello, Shakaji.
Yes,
I
David,
hope.
tell me.
About the session today, I had two parts that I would love to hear more from you and from the other students. One of them related when you mentioned when we discuss about the karma, both of them are related with the karma yoga. One of them is related with the impressions. You mentioned a little bit the concept of the impressions, past impressions, and I would like to hear more about that in other studies that I have been doing relate, not necessarily Vedanta related. The concept of impressions appears, and I would like to understand it more inside of the Gita framework and for Vedanta. That's one of them. And the second is more concrete, is we in the Western world are maybe very detached from the concept of karma yoga and how to do karma properly, right? You mentioned that the seekers, sincere seekers, they need to purify maybe or deepen or experience and do seriously karma yoga before the knowledge part, and for me it's very meaningful. So one of the questions, the second question is, how can you do that seriously in the concept, in the, or let's say in the context of a Western world, right? So that would be my second question.
Okay, good. Okay, the first question, let me answer first. One thing about, we talked about karma is impressions. Okay, now this is a slightly deeper aspect about understanding our nature. It will take a little bit of time if you're new to the scriptures. It will take a little bit of time for you to understand how the law of karma works in our life. Generally, just to put it very simply, if you are a new student, the way to understand this is any action which we do in life, good or bad, it will leave some impression in our mind. Suppose you do some good action, you feel, I have done very good, I have been helpful to some people, and you feel these are meritorious actions. So what will happen is you will continue to do these type of actions again and again. Your own nature will push you to do good actions. So these good actions will leave an impression in your mind, which is called as the third body, that is the Karana Sharira, which is a subtle body. Subtlest body we have is the impressions body. All the thoughts which we have enjoyed in the past, all the thoughts don't form the impressions. Some thoughts, they get ingrained in our subconscious mind. What Veda says is very, very strange. They say that we take a new body so that we can enjoy those thoughts, good or bad, again, and then experience the world. Again, we have impressions in our mind, again, we take another body. So the law of karma says that throughout your life, what you do in life, you can watch yourself and you can come to your own conclusion whether this theory is right or wrong because it is personal experience. I experience good things in life. I also experience some bad moments in life. Good things are caused by meritorious actions. Bad things which come in our mind are caused by demerit actions. In Sanskrit, we call it as papam and punyam. Now, this is the fundamental theory of understanding what happens to all of us in our life. Throughout our life, our mind from morning to evening is bursting with thoughts. Thoughts after thoughts after thoughts after thoughts, and again and again. And each body has got a certain specific rhythm of thoughts. Your body, your mind has got a certain rhythm. My body, my mind has got a certain rhythm. With the help of thoughts, I act in the world. It is the thoughts which push me into the world of action. So again, when I do action, again, I generate more thoughts. So this is the law of karma. So this karma yoga means understanding this law of nature and acting in the world. Now, see, all of us are not born with a very mature, very pure mind. We get carried away by our own likes and dislikes. For example, a simple instrument called the mobile phone. We get so attached to the mobile phone, unknowingly we engage with the mobile phone for hours together. Suddenly you will find I am engaged with the mobile phone for half an hour, 45 minutes, 1 hour, and so on. So it is a habit. So I hope I am given as I am able to give you a simple answer to your first question about impressions.
Yes, thank you, Shakale.
How to know these impressions are there in our mind? One experiment I want you to try is, as soon as you get up in the morning, just close your eyes for 1 minute or 2 minutes before you walk out of your bed. Don't do anything. Just sit quietly in a dark room without no lights on. Just wake up and sit down and see what happens in your mind. You were fast asleep. Mind was not active. Your mind woke you up. The mind waking up is called as waking state. When the mind wakes up, suddenly you say, okay, now I am awake. First 2 minutes, just find out, sit down and say, just close your eyes and see, is there a burst of thoughts? All of us will experience a burst of thoughts. One, two, three, four, five, six, suddenly you'll find a burst of thoughts and you'll be carried away. If you're not alert, you'll be carried away with your thoughts, and then you'll continue watching your mind continuously for some time till you become alert again. Oh my God, I have to get up and start working. I have to start the day. That burst of thought is what is called as the impressions in the Karana Shariram. Karana Shariram means it is the subtlest body which is made up of matter, but which is illumined by Atma light, which is called as consciousness. I am not the mind, I am the Atma. I watch the burst of thoughts in my mind, that is impressions, but I am the light which is illumining those thoughts. The more you hold on to the light and own up that as your real nature, you will find that your thoughts keep dropping slowly. If you watch your thoughts, say for 2 months, off and on, not that every day, every time you watch your thoughts, off and on, what happens? Your number of thoughts will reduce and you will be able to have control over your mind. There is a lot of science behind this thoughts and the witness of thoughts in Vedanta. So that's about your first portion.
Yeah. Exactly, Shakaji. I have a small follow-up related with this. I had the opportunity very shortly to experience, I will do definitely the exercise you are recommending, thank you for that, to experience shortly another, might say, entity seeing my thoughts. I can, for a very small amount of time, sometimes in the morning, identify when I'm totally inside of my thoughts. It's not, there is no one there. It's just I'm totally embedded in any type of thought. And other times where for a very short period of time, I can realize and it feels like someone else is there for a short period of time, seeing that the thoughts are trying to pulling you in. How is are those moments what generates the impressions for what I understanding or not necessarily connected with it?
Yeah, those are the times when you can watch the impressions.
I see.
Normally, as soon as you open your eyes, the eyes are going to see the world and then it's going to get caught up in the world and then it's going to start acting in the world or outside. So the impressions are the thoughts. So at the time when you are seeing the thoughts, you realize these are the impressions. You see, these are not visible to the external eye. It is not visible to any of your sense organs. So, what makes them visible to you is your light of consciousness. So, if you are able to watch that, you have gone very far ahead in your spiritual study. It is a very great achievement. Now, you have to study more about that light of consciousness. There's a lot of things to study about the light of consciousness. And that is the study of Veda. That is the study of Bhagavad Gita. In the 13th chapter, 14th chapter, and the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, you will learn so much about this light of consciousness that you will feel that I am that light and I am ever free. I'm ever free. That is the conclusion you will reach when you study the 13, 14, 15 chapters. They are focused on this light of consciousness. It is something which you have to go through the verses. Your intellect has to go through those verses. And it has got a methodology to reveal to you your real nature as this consciousness. And then you lead a life. Then you lead a normal life. Okay, fine. See, then what happens is you are rooted in your true nature, which is Atma, which is consciousness. And then you are living in the world with the help of the body mind as an instrument. See, today the body mind is not an instrument. It is you. You say, I am the body, I am the mind. So that change happens in your intellect. So that is all about impressions. Now,
Thank
the second thing question you asked is about Karma Yoga. See, in the third chapter, fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, see, Karma Yoga is basically two principles. Very simple. It is nothing to do wherever you are situated. You may be living in Philippines, you may be living in America, London, wherever it is. Karma Yoga means that the body is acting. I am not acting. I am the observer of the body. All the time. Body is acting, body is enjoying, body is doing as per some law of karma, as per some law principle in the waking state. There is things going on in the world. I have no control on that. Predominantly, I don't have control, but I seem to have control over the body and mind. But that is a seeming control. It is not a real control. So, Karma Yoga, you see, I talk about purification of mind and so on. All that is possible wherever you are. The first thing you do is, I am not the body. Body is acting as per the law of karma or as per the law of nature. You see, the body is made up of only five elements. Body acting is five elements. But what powers the body is Atma. The fan is rotating, but what powers the fan is electricity. I am the electricity principle in this body. I invigorate the sense organ to see the world. I invigorate the mind to act. I am that consciousness. And that consciousness is not always attached to the body or mind. That is the knowledge I get from the Bhagavad Gita. So to purify your mind in simple terms, doing karma yoga in the Western world or wherever you're situated, what it really means is knowing that I am not the body, body is acting. If I have to act in the world, there are certain principles. What are the simple principles? Let me do my duty. Whatever duty you've got today, do your duty. That is what is called as karma yoga. Suppose you have children, take care of the children. You have to do your you have to earn money for the family. Go ahead. So doing duty is karma yoga. And duty is being done by the body and mind complex. It is not I who am the doer. That is a study. That is a knowledge you pick up while you study the Bhagavad Gita. I mean, Karma Yoga is three chapters, third chapter, fourth chapter. In the next class itself, we will see a little bit more details of Karma Yoga. And you will find a beautiful description of the mind in the second chapter from verse number 54 to 72. Bhagavad Gita is very famous in the second chapter for verse number 12 to 30 and for 54 to 72. Two big sections are there. The entire study of the mind you can do when you understand the verses 54 to 72. Am I clear, David, to some extent?
Yes, thank you very much. It has been very insightful. Thank you. Thank
Good.
You, Shakai.
Thank you. Anybody else has a question? Yeah, Shama, go ahead.
Hariyo, Shikaji?
Yeah.
Just very small bits of questions. One is just really, so from 12 to actually 12 to 30 is Atmagnanam.
Yes, Adhyatmika. From the
Adhyatmika.
Yeah. Yeah.
Atmagnanam, isn't
yes,
it? 12
yes,
to 30.
Yes, yes.
And then from 30 to 54 is the
yes.
Ethical and dharma. So which is really comprising the complete Jnana Yoga, isn't it?
30 to 54 will be, you know, it touches on mainly Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga. Then it also touches on Dharmika angle, ethical angle of fighting the war. It has got a mixture of topics. From 30 to 54, it has got a mixture of topics. From 30 to 34, I gave you the details that it's Dharmika angle. Then 34 to 36 is Laukika angle of why he should fight. These are all, and then from 39th verse onwards, the Karma Yoga is being taught, introduced. How to do Karma Yoga is being introduced. And then what are the ways in which you, these are all miscellaneous topics of second chapter. It is not a very structured.
So in other words, it's like Atmagnanam and then Sadharanjnanam.
Correct.
So that together it makes the Jnana Yoga.
That's right.
Together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Or and applied Jnanam.
Correct.
Because that's really allows you to know how to conduct your life.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So which is I'm just trying to grasp it in my head so that it becomes a very workable.
What you should focus on the second chapter, you should mainly focus on the first section, which is 12 to 30.
Yeah.
Whenever you want,
the second part is useful. No?
Whenever you want to know who am I, go back to this section. If you're confused at any time, you are confused, who am I?
Yeah.
And you're deluded. Your mind is saying, okay, go after this, go after that, go after that. Then what you should do? Study this 12 to 30.
Yeah, no, that case, you have not left any room for confusion,
Correct.
actually,
And
during the.
then the second portion you should study is 54 to 72.
Yeah,
That
excellent.
tells you how does a jnani behave in the world.
Yeah. And the second part, second question which I have is about can you just elaborate a little bit more on Swadharma, or you'll be doing it much later?
I will be doing it later. There will be a lot of verses coming now which will talk about Swadharma.
Yeah, because this is one of those very for an actual day-to-day life, that is a
Yes.
very
See, in simple
key.
terms, Shyama, Swadharma means your mind is given you this body to perform certain actions in this world. Okay, so this is the law. Your mind, the Sukshma Shariram, has taken up this body to perform certain actions in the world, which is called as Swadharma. Swadharma means it is the dharma of the body-mind complex.
For
You are a
example,
doctor, somebody else is a lawyer. Somebody else is a fight. He's in the army fighting the war. Somebody else is a computer scientist. Somebody else. So these are all swadharma of each mind, body mind complex.
So the Swadharma, in fact, therefore, depending on your ashrama in life, whether you're a,
Yes.
or whether you're a vanaprastha, or
Correct.
whether you are in this thing, grihastha ashram, totally, it will automatically differ. It will also differ according to your varna dharma. Varna, which
Yes.
means guna dharma, not
Correct.
really caste wise, but
Yes.
guna dharma, whether I'm a doctor or whether whatever. So the dharma, swadharma will essentially differ that. My question is, like somebody like me, the Swadharma at this point of time is to, if I am not engaging enough in knowing who I am, my true nature, that is my key dharma, isn't it? So it is important to actually identify what is my key dharma, or what is my swadharma. Not knowing myself is really something. I think it's for anybody and everybody. How can you walk through your whole life without knowing who you are?
Correct.
But even more, like I don't have much time in my mortal life, and so if not, so it is almost like a kind of a key point, which when I get up in the morning, it is almost spurring me, and it's also guiding me to say, in case I deviate a lot from that key duty. My duty at this point of time is to just know myself.
Okay, there are two ways to look at it. You see, Swadharma, you can look at it from worldly angle, how others look at you. Like if others are looking at you as a mother, then you have to perform the role of a mother. You cannot say, I'm going to go and sit in meditation 8 hours a day, and then I'm going to look at studying myself, and I'll forget about my Swadharma means my dharma, which has put me in this particular place, time, in this situation today. For each of us, the Swadharma is doing duty.
But is there something like predominantly?
Yeah, predominant is, of course, Adhyatmika. That means you know yourself. Trying to know yourself is the ultimate Swadharma.
Yeah, and obviously there will be that kind of a nitya karmas and
Yeah, Nitya
dharmas.
karmas like
Karma
puja and all
dharma,
that you keep
yeah,
doing. Yeah.
nitya karma dharma towards myself, my
Yes.
family or friends
That's
or
right.
whoever it is, even strangers, if it comes to, there is a dharma.
Yes.
So that part, those actions are very clear, the Panchamahayagna and all, which is a
Correct.
continuous thing which
Yes.
has to happen. So that's really the karma dharma, whatever
Correct. You
is
see,
my karma.
that is explained in the third chapter, beginning of third chapter, where Arjuna himself asks this question. Oh Lord, you are telling me to learn about Atmajnanam. At the same
Yeah.
time, you are telling me you try to go and fight the war.
Yeah, exactly.
So what is my
Exactly.
Swadharma?
Yeah.
Okay,
That
Shama.
is, thank
Yeah.
you so much. Thank
Thank
you,
you.
Jay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Anybody else has any other question?
Sagarji, this is related to the same question Shamaji asked. For
Yes.
example, if somebody is in, their profession is, as per others, is not good. For example, a butcher who is killing the, who is, killing the animals and making the meat. So his Swadharma is to, to do this job, but others may feel him like, he's not doing the good job. So does it mean that he should change his Swadharma if he want to continue in the Atma knowledge?
No.
So
See, it is your prarabdha karma which decides whether you are a meat cutter or whether you are growing vegetables. So it's your prarabdha karma. That is his prarabdha karma. Let him exhaust it. In the next birth, he will not be the meat chopper, but he'll be in the temple. It is his prarabdha karma which is in this current one birth, which is a few hundred years. When you talk about eternal life, this is a small life. You just take it as okay, this is his prarabdha karma, let him do it.
okay.
The way you see it is each one is doing his duty. The moment you cross your duty and then you go life of raga and dvesha, that is where Lord Krishna says, take control. Don't lead a life of raga dvesha, do your duty. Your raga and dvesha is the one which creates all the commotion in life. Whenever you're caught up with the raga and dvesha, become alert. At that time, ask the question, am I doing my duty or am I going as per my raga and dvesha? That is the lesson you should learn from the Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna says again and again in the third chapter, he says, watch your mind, watch your mind. Is the mind going after your own likes and dislikes? Bring it back to duty. Can I do my duty today, forgetting my raga and dvesha? Either duty to the family, duty to the society, do service to the society, calling a friend, helping a friend, do that. But don't go after your raga and dvesha. Raga and dvesha is the culprit. It is the kidnapper. It kidnaps our mind. And then we are sucked into it. You know, it is, so this is the alert mind which always remembers that the kidnapper in this body mind, which will take away the me from the path of dharma to adharma. And dharma and adharma, leading a dharmic life is good. You see, what does the Veda Purva portion says? Follow all the rituals, lead a dharmic life. But dharmic life will not give me moksha. For moksha, I have to do jnana yoga. There is no other way. For moksha, see, Bhagavad Gita introduces to us the topic of moksha. See, a time comes in every seeker's life when he finds that I am truly caught up by my mind. For every seeker, it happens. And a seeker is born when he becomes aware that he wants to get out of this control of his mind. Then the seekerhood is born. See, in this body, the mind controls the body. And There is an external entity which is called as reflected consciousness, which is also indwelling in the body together with the mind. That consciousness wants to, the mind today is kidnapped. Is kidnapping this reflected consciousness, and it is taking away, taking body after body again and again. So now, I who am a mixture of this consciousness and the mind have to separate the mind and the consciousness. And it will happen. You don't have to do anything. The more you study these scriptures, automatically your mind will start segregating light of consciousness and the mind. But it is a very gradual process. For all of us, it's a very gradual process, but it is sure it will happen. Keep listening to the Bhagavad Gita. And also do mananam. You see, many times we forget to do mananam. You know, we sit down in meditation and sit down for 10 minutes. You see, I'm saying meditation, it need not be meditation, it can be just observing your mind. Just watch your mind. And then start saying, I am the Atma, and start deliberating on the thoughts of Atma. This is what is the transformation which you will see, and which is the objective of learning the Bhagavad Gita. See, we listen to a lot of these verses. Only a small portion remains in our mind, and we remember only a very little portion. But as we learn slowly, that small Atma Tattvam in our mind grows bigger and bigger. When that happens, when it grows to a certain extent, when it reaches a mature state, then what happens is the seeker understands his purpose of life, and he says, I am fulfilled person, I am happy person, living as Atma in the world. Earlier, I used to live as the mind in the world. Now I am living as Atma in the world. That is the prasada of the study of Bhagavad Gita. Till that happens, keep learning.
That's
Good. Shama,
thank
you're
you,
for
thank you.
438. There's nothing to purify as divine knowledge. It's a very beautiful verse. Good. Good, you brought it up. See, when you
Chitta
study.
Shuddhi, Jnana Yoga, you're talking about. So it just emphasizes the necessity of it because
Correct.
nothing else can give that purification.
Nothing else. It's only Jnana Yoga.
And
Again and
today,
again, there is nothing else but pure Jnana Yoga, which will purify the thoughts in your mind.
And that links up with, where Shankaracharya, I think Vivek Chudamani and elsewhere, where he talks about the purifying power of the elements of the earth. So jnanam is like the fire tattvam, isn't it?
Correct,
It
correct.
just consumes all your dross,
That's right.
completely all the dross. In fact, even like when we think about how iron, I was just contemplating on these in the morning, so it's just coming along, as to the if we talk about iron filaments, when
Yes.
it is in an ore form, it doesn't get attracted, the magnet doesn't attract. So
Yes.
magnet being the Paramatma is there, but it cannot have the power to pull us. But when the mind has been purified, the iron filings, which I thought they are the iron filings, are the thoughts.
Correct.
So burn it, every day just kind of meditate deeply, burn it so that it just completely takes away the dross and you're left with this pure iron filing, pure thoughts. And they have to naturally gravitate to the Paramatma, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah,
Good.
so,
It's a good,
yeah.
good. It's a good example.
Yeah, no, it
Yeah.
is
Thank you,
beautiful.
Shama. Anybody else has a question? Okay, so we will continue next week, and we'll gradually go. But don't forget, 54 to 72 is a very important portion. We are in the 39th verse now. Let's see how we go. Namaste. Thank you.
Namaste.